music sounds a little different tonight for some reason. I hear some instruments in there I didn't hear before. All right. Okay, here we go. Our twice-weekly look at the latest, sometimes three times, trying to stay on top of it to keep all of you aware of what you need to do to protect yourselves from what's happening. And we have some particularly disturbing news tonight about shedding. Shedding. There are people who have been shed upon and who have died from it. Now, that's something that you don't hear talked about very often, but we do have reports about that and much worse. And then that report I read a little earlier, a pregnant woman in the UK, 8 months pregnant. Doctor said you're going to have a cesarean, but you can't come into the hospital here unless you've had your vaccination. So the woman got the shot, and there's video up of her daughter going up shortly, or son, I forget which it was, and the kid is in spasms. He's an infant. He's just shaking and trembling all over. This is not human behavior. It's satanic and worse. Erica Kahn is standing by. Welcome back, young lady. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you, Jeff. How are you?
Well, not that good. I'm doing the best I can. This whole shedding thing, we were, I think, as much as anyone could be on top of that early, trying to help people understand. We still don't know exactly precisely what is being shed, but we do know that at least speculative science tells us that everyone who gets the real vaccine, not the saline, is turned into a spike-producing factory forever. Because your genetic changes don't just revert with some supplement. Doesn't happen. So you have been monitoring shedding forums on the social media for a long time. Now, there's something to be said about that, which we'll mention a little later. But anything new, for example, today, I'm going to read the one that you sent me yesterday from Julia somebody. Shocking things. Anything new today?
It's more of the same. The shedding is real. It's undeniable at this point. I guess we're getting some clarity on why some people may be more affected, seemingly, than others, or more symptomatic, in any case, than others. And that's not to say that even if you're not having symptoms, having been around the vax, it does not mean that there are not things happening in your blood or body that you're unaware of as a result of being exposed to these people, because they are emitting or transmitting something quite toxic, you know, enough to induce serious symptoms in other people, and now to the point of some people actually requiring hospitalization and blood transfusions.
Blood transfusions, dear friends. You know what we have been reporting about the blood. You don't want to get a transfusion under any circumstances. Some people might even choose to check out rather than put that horror into their body. It's that bad. And the Red Cross, one of the most evil organizations on the planet, is not saying a word about it. Very little. We'll say that much. Now, before I read this, there's something called CIRS. I'm going to play this video next. You want to tell everyone it's CIRS, I guess. CIRS, is that it?
Yeah, it's an acronym, CIRS, which stands for Chronic Inflammatory Response Syndrome. And it's a pathological condition or a pathological immune response where you become hypersensitive to any sort of toxins in the body. And many people experience this kind of syndrome after they've had mold toxicity, or if they're currently dealing with mold toxicity, because mold does a lot of things to the body, one of which it shuts down the detox pathways. So even just a little bit of toxin of just about anything can make you feel really sick. And I've now heard from a couple people who have this SIRS as a result of having been toxified by mold in the past, and these seem to be some of the most sensitive people when it comes to being around vaxxed people. Just being in their presence is enough to bring on these symptoms. They have to get away, and then there's a, you know, several hours, maybe even a day, where they just have to lay low and let their bodies recover. So whatever's coming out of the vaxxed people is toxic, at the least. I don't, you know, if it's very toxic, a little toxic, it's toxic.
Yeah, toxic is toxic. That story about the pregnant woman in England who took the shot so she could have her C-section in the hospital. It's not like there's got to be a bunch of hospitals in England. I don't know. She had time to prepare this. But that video will really enrage you. It's awful.
Yeah, that is going to, I think, be the breaking point where, because the FDA is not doing its job in protecting the public, the courts are all, you know, they're not upholding the Constitution in the way that they should be, and the government is rogue. This is going to put, I guess, up the ante for vigilante justice, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, people start hiring hit squads to go out and, you know, mete out justice for the perpetrators of this, because it's the doctors and the nurses and these frontline workers that are supporting the agenda. Without them, this would not be possible.
That's a very important point. It is being talked about. I am expecting the same thing. I don't know that people will even need to hire anybody. I think a lot of them will have suffered so much grief, they're just going to go after their doctor who gave them the shot, or the nurse, and say, you know, F you, I'm done. You're not going to get a free ride after this. You've killed too many people. And that, I'm not promoting this, but I think that is a very real possibility. It's certainly a stage, a venue for a false flag to turn the people who have been vaxxed further against the unvaxxed, so to speak. They're gonna use everything they can. But I think that this idea of an eye for an eye is definitely on the table now, and will become much more so as more and more people watch beloved family members die horrifically. This is going to happen. It's happening now.
Yeah.
All right, here's a woman with SIRS, C-I-R-S. She is basically a walking antenna for people who are shedding. She can't... Well, I'll let her tell her own story here. This is very interesting.
Hey, TikTok. My name is Anne, and you don't know me, but this is a video about my medical experiences with the pointy thing that people are getting nowadays.
That's code for the vax, the pointy thing that people are now. She didn't want the video to be taken down, so she used that.
I haven't taken it, but I'm going to tell you something about it that I know medically. This isn't misinformation. This is my own personal experience, and my doctors agree with this experience. So, I have a disorder called SIRS, C-I-R-S, if you choose to Google it, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, inflammation in response to toxins. My body, my immune system, makes inflammation and overreacts in response to toxins. I'm a walking toxicity meter. I walk into buildings, I walk by anything poisonous, and I can tell you that it's poisonous, because within seconds I get sick. My body produces inflammation. Just like someone with a peanut allergy can get sick from 10 feet away, if there's something poisonous, I can sense it from 10 feet away. Mold is primarily what I react to, because little did you know, or most people don't know, mold is highly poisonous. It's not just allergens, it's not just spores. It releases poisonous gases to defend itself. So poisonous, there are 8 of the 10 deadliest biochemical weapons in the world are mold toxins. It's not harmless, it's not some innocent fuzzy stuff, but I digress. I also react to toxic bacteria, I react to heavy metal toxins, and more. Well, there's a new toxin I'm reacting to, and it's vaccinated people. It's not a conspiracy theory. Every time I'm around vaccinated people, I get sick. I can't go into public anymore without getting sick. I have to survive. But I get sick. I get a cough. I get brain fog. I get headaches. I get trouble thinking, trouble with my memory. My body starts to ache, and my skin burns. Every inch of my skin starts burning like it's on fire. And after a few hours, I get so sick, just by being out in the public. Out in fresh air, out at a park around other people where I didn't used to get sick, I get sick now. Grocery stores, that even if they don't have mold, I didn't used to get sick there, I get sick now. And it's growing and growing and growing this last year, the more people get vaccinated. And I don't get sick around unvaccinated people. When I'm around friends who have not been vaccinated, I don't get sick. But if I'm with friends who have been vaccinated, I get sick. There's a lot of studies that the news isn't telling you about the spike proteins. They messed up. The spike proteins that the COVID vaccine makes and tells your DNA to make, they're poisonous. So what do you think happens when they tell someone's DNA to manufacture these spike proteins that are poisonous? They build up and build up and build up. I can smell them on people's breath. And it makes me sick. I react quickly to poison, but what do you think is going to happen in a few years to everyone else?
Wow. This is something that I would expect possibly, and I hadn't thought about this until just now, may begin to happen to a lot more people. Didn't you tell me once that when somebody reaches a toxicity level or a threshold, they become much more easily pushed over the top by some kind of an invading pathogen or toxin like she's talking about? Could this thing happen
to
more people?
Definitely. You know, it depends on what somebody's, you know, body burden of toxins is at the time, how well their detox pathways are working, if they're keeping up with the toxins and getting them out. But yeah, it's going to vary from person to person, but certainly, you know, this is only adding to an already toxic world. And the more you're around these people that are shedding this stuff, you know, the greater your body burden of toxins is going to be. And then it may be a case where you add, I don't know, something else to it, pesticides, herbicides, whatever, cleaning fluid. You know, it's just going to push you over the edge. It's too much. And whatever this is, it has to be on the high end of some kind of serious toxin to be inducing these kinds of effects in a wide range of people. I mean,
wait till you hear what I'm about to read. I agree with you. This is big stuff. This is not some passing little, you get the sniffles or you sneeze a few times. This is real serious business. And it apparently goes right into your body and goes right to work. Let's assume it is the spike protein. Their body is, the person who's been vaxxed is throwing off uncountable numbers of spike proteins as exosomes or through exhalations of breath, body fluids, sweat. It doesn't matter. There are a lot of channels. And you go out and you pick it up. And a day later, you're not feeling good. You don't connect the two to being out. Most people don't. You, dear audience, might. But the average person who looks to CNBC to tell them what's going on doesn't have a clue. And you got to feel sorry for them. I don't know what hope do they have. They're going to have to turn their back on everything they've been taught for life, that the government is our servant. And the medical establishment is out there to help them. Nothing in either case could be much further from the truth. They are our mortal enemies now. Not all doctors, not all health pros, but too damn many of them. They're facilitating the vax. And I was in a store today with a pharmacy, and I saw people, and they were, one of them was over there getting a vax. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I just see this. You just can't process it. These poor people
are
literally
getting a lethal injection.
They're committing suicide right there.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I remember in the very beginning of this issue, warning people, don't do it. It's not a vaccine. It's a carrier. It's a carrier. And now that we really know this, but again, the majority doesn't know it. Let's say two-thirds of the people do not use the internet for their information sourcing. They look at the TV. They're toast right now. That girl who just
described
that.
Yeah, they don't have a clue.
No. The girl who just described it, she said, I can smell it on their breath. Wow. She's smelling the spike protein? Something. She smells it. Somebody who's been invaded and taken over. It's not normal. And I think there are going to be more of these kinds of reactions.
I do, too. Definitely.
Let me read this now. I have another remark I want to make after this. So if I forget, please remind me. This is from Julia. And thank you for sending it to me, Erica. This is really important. She writes, and this is, I don't know which platform, but explain to our listeners what's online. I don't go to social media. How many groups are there? What kinds of groups are there for victims of this vax genocide?
There's Facebook is probably the best one to have a conversation. But even the ones that are dedicated to people experiencing adverse reactions, those are getting censored. I mean, these are people that they're not anti-vax. They don't have an agenda. They just want help. And even those are being censored and shut down. And consequently, if there's enough people, the moderator, the admin, will take it upon themselves to go and set up a private group somewhere else on a different platform, separate and apart from the censorship of Facebook. This is really criminal, what they're doing to these people. And these people are suffering.
Yeah. I want to come back to this whole issue of social media platforms and groups after I read this and we go through it. All right. Julia writes, shedding is very real. Happened to both my boys and myself and my dogs after exposure to a vaxxed person. Bleeding for them. Bleeding from their nose and otherwise. Chest pains, tremors, and twitches. Diarrhea for all, and terrible migraines they've never experienced before. Now, these are victims of shedding. These are not vaxxed people. She goes on, they are not created for our benefit, but on the contrary, to make us more sick and slowly dying, if not detoxed from it. Now, this is her comment. And there's a comment under it. Amazing to think that just a few days ago, Shara was in a hospital bed so poorly, feeling so poorly, and now she's home, starting to feel like herself again. Thank you so much, everyone, for your prayers. Never forget the power of prayers, etc. Now, here's another one. This is from somebody named Tasha. Personally, now, is this also shedding?
This is all shedding. Examples of shedding.
They're not going back and forth here. This is all right. I just want to make that clear.
Yeah, these are independent reports.
All right. Here's this. Now, we've all heard of Bell's palsy being a side effect. It's facial paralysis, and it doesn't go away. It's permanent damage, neuropathic damage to the, I think it's the seventh cranial nerve that controls your face, and it usually hits one half of your face, one side. Well, Tasha writes, this girl is unvaccinated. Personally, I experienced Bell's palsy, jerking and twitching all over. I had an MRI all clear after all my colleagues got done at the same time. Two people I know had nose bleeding, but they were jabbed. One died and one needed a transfusion. But this girl had Bell's palsy.
From being around these people.
All right. Nose bleeding. But they were jabbed. Two people. One of them died, and the other needed a blood transfusion. How the hell do you have a nosebleed that bad that they can't stop the bleeding?
Yeah, there must be no platelets. And this is common. These nosebleeds are not insignificant. They're not minor. These are nosebleeds that just don't stop.
Wow. Here's another one. Hi, Julie. Just connecting with you. My friend Shane was telling you about your story. I have just experienced similar with my daughter. She's just out of the hospital, having had a horrendous time. My daughter is unvaxxed, but all her classmates are. She became very ill, bleeding heavily, passing clots, pain, weakness. She lost so much blood, she needed a transfusion. There's another one. Innocent girl, unvaxxed, so much blood, so much hemorrhaging, she needed a transfusion, which carries in and of itself potentially deadly, long-term, or who knows, side effects. Here's one more. Question, please. Any remedies for a 13-year-old child that experienced profuse bleeding, clots, needed multiple transfusions from shedding, from vaxxed schoolmates? Think about it. So you send your kids off, you've kept them unvaxxed, they go to school, they're surrounded with 80 or 90% that are vaxxed, and your kid comes home and ends up needing a transfusion, multiple transfusions, with tainted blood.
Yeah.
You know damn well the controllers knew all this. They knew the blood would be rotten right away, and they knew people would have to have transfusions, and they'd further spread their evil with that. There's one more. My friend David died from a massive nosebleed. His family all were fully jabbed. He wasn't. I'm not allowed at the funeral. Apparently, I'm the crazy one. Someone dies from a nosebleed, an unvaxxed person. Erica?
It's really mind-blowing.
It's
this spike protein, you know, just for the record, I mean, we don't even know if it's carrying maybe some graphene, maybe some iron oxide nanoparticle. We don't know if it's carrying any of these metallic things or if it's just the protein all by itself. But it alone is capable of causing these clotting issues. I mean, it has a number of sites on it that can engage or bind to the heparin protein, the integrin protein. So it messes up the whole clotting cascade, all the signaling that you need to maintain what they call hemostasis, which is the health of the blood to flow properly and then clot when needed. That's all screwed up when these spike proteins get into you. It could also be damaging the endothelium and making it leaky. Quite a few people are reporting swollen ankles, which could be a sign that the kidneys are affected. And I am seeing a lot of reports of kidney issues, either people struggling with kidney stones and or kidney infections.
All of a sudden, kidney stones.
Yeah, that's been somewhat consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But, you know, it's not out of the ordinary.
The point is, you're in a room with other people who have been vaxxed. They are shedding on you, into you, spike proteins. Now, we've seen, and there's a video up by, it's an interview with Dr. Charles Hoff, and somebody, God bless him, did a remarkable digital video presentation of what he's talking about. And you can find that at the top of the archive on the right-hand side. Hoff, H-O-F-F-E, it's right at the top. You really need to look at that. It's extraordinary. It brings it all home. You can see what he's talking about. I don't know who did the work, but it's excellent. Let me go back to this first one that I read from Julia. Shedding is very real. It happened to both of my boys and myself and my dogs after exposure. Bleeding for them, nose and otherwise, chest pains, tremors, twitches, diarrhea for everyone, and terrible migraines they've never experienced. What they use in those injections is poison. And they're not created for our benefit, but on the contrary, to make us more sick and slowly die, if not detox from it. I don't know any way to detox anybody from once they've been vaxxed. But here's the deal. We're going to assume that through speculative science that the spike protein is indeed highly transmissible. Highly. From these people who have been vaxxed. And those of you who have been vaxxed out there, we know you don't want to do that. That wasn't the deal. But that's what it is. Now, there's another part of this, and Erica told me about it. You read in the patent that they admitted there would be shedding of spike, and tell us the rest of the story. What else are they admitting is being shed?
Oh, the mRNA.
Which dictates to your body to begin to manufacture spike proteins. So
correct.
If you're being shed upon with spike protein and mRNA, which is admitted in the patent, that means you're essentially getting vaxxed.
It appears so. In black and white, it says that the material is shed in the form of exosomes, which are lipid-bound capsules that your body produces, which contain genetic material, and they enter into the environment where other organisms can pick them up. Now, whether or not they're acted upon, I don't know, but we still have the mystery of this URA-3665 that is turning up. It's in the vaccine, whatever it is. It's in the vaccine, a component of the vaccine. It's not listed on the ingredients, but it's, according to this research paper, it is in the vaccine, and it's turning up in the unvaxxed at toxic levels. And the other paper that mentions this URA-3665 also mentions that it may engage the immune system of the immune system of people with healthy people. In other words, people that might normally be resistant to whatever this if people are resistant to the spike protein, whatever this URA-3665 is could make them be less resistant to it.
What if it was mRNA-3665?
Well, you know,
they're playing games.
Moderna has a number of compounds, mRNA-type gene therapies that do use the acronym, some three-letter acronym and a four-digit suffix to describe these various concoctions. To my knowledge, I have not come across that one. But the one paper, or one of the papers, the lead author was Nathaniel Landau, and he's really involved with the J&J vaccine. So I'm not sure that the URA-3665 is unique to Moderna. The papers describe it being in the vaccines, plural, so that would suggest it's not just one of them.
No.
It's all of them, or some are all of them.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So I think it's a sequence. I mean, the URA could stand for uracil, which is a base, RNA base. I don't think it's uranium, but I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe a little bit of uranium is enough to weaken somebody's immune system and make them engage with a spike protein.
All right, well, let me go back to the earlier suggestion I put on the table that when you go out and about, all of you who are not vaxxed, and those of you who are vaxxed, you are loved by a lot of people in your lives. We care about you equally. But when you go out, it would be responsible for both sides not to get too near to each other. Now, how do you know who's vaxxed? How do you know who's not? You don't. So this, I hate to say it, but this is where social distancing begins to make a little sense. All right? Just something to think about. There are no easy answers to this. Now, the idea of these social media platforms, Eric and I have discussed this, and I have a feeling that these, if they were really causing the program trouble, they would have been deep-sixed long ago. In that they're still up and running suggests to me that they very likely may have been created by the other side, the dark side, and are being used to collect data and to spread disinformation. And sow fear into the minds of people who read the accounts there. These could all be real-time overseen and real-time injected with false testimonials from people. AI could be involved. I don't know. But please don't believe every word you see on every one of these forums if you happen to frequent any of them. It's too easy for the other side to have created these to use them, just like they do websites and green screen ego junkies and so forth. They're using the internet to con you and to, it's rope-a-dope. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a form of social engineering, probably the most effective one right now.
Perfect. These stories, I would submit that most of them are probably true, but certainly not all of them. They will put in there what they want.
Yes, I mean, some of these people I know fairly well, personally. I mean, I know they're real people. They're not bots. They're genuine people, and, you know, they're not working for anybody but themselves and just trying to get the truth out there. And I've heard from people I know personally that have suffered the consequences of shedding.
One anecdote? Give us
one
example.
I have a friend who had mold sensitivity and does struggle with this condition called CIRS, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, and she identified immediately with the woman in this video, this young girl in the video, that whenever she's around these people now, it's just a matter of minutes before she's overcome with headache, nausea, skin burning, brain fog. You just have to go home and recover.
This happens at a speed that is kind of intimidating even to think about. You walk through a room of people, and this woman picks things up. So does the little girl, young lady, and they're sick. It doesn't take an hour of exposure. It can take just a few moments, apparently, to get spike protein. And God help us all. If the vaxxed are actually shedding, it's in the patent, the mRNA, which instructs your cells to make the spike protein, and the mRNA is, or is it not, self-replicating?
We don't know. I mean, they say it's not, but
yeah,
several
right.
of the vaccine candidates in the pipeline are toying with that, and I know Pfizer toyed with it in their clinical trials.
Over 20 different mRNA vaccines are now being developed. That's what we know about. This is the future, they say, of vaccinations. It's the end of the line for humanity, is what it is. They'll put anything in this stuff to achieve what the international globalists want. Wow. And for those of you who think, and I know most of you don't, but there may be some newcomers out there, and you're a MSNBC or CNBC or CNN or even Fox, you're a fan. You're used to that as being your source of news and information. Now, from what you know, even just from tonight's program, I'm going to play a little clip from MSNBC. And I almost puked when I listened to this. Lying. It's beyond disinformation. It's evil. Now listen, the anchor woman is named, her last name is Ruhle, R-U-H-L-E. MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle claims unvaxxed people can just stay home and work and homeschool their children. All right, now listen to this.
I'm puzzled by these people who continue to say they're forced to get vaccinated here. There's always been a choice. If you do not want to get vaccinated, you can work from home. You can homeschool your children. You can shop online. So where is this coming from? People saying, I'm now being forced to be vaccinated. We never forced vaccinations on kids in school. If you didn't want to vaccinate your kids, you could homeschool them. And people have done it for years.
What a lying bitch. Sorry, that's what she is. And there's she's got another woman on the split screen with her.
You're exactly right. Nobody is being forced. In fact, if you don't get vaccinated, you just have to get tested on a weekly basis. But the reality is the science is crystal clear on this. Get it. Get vaccinated. These vaccines are incredibly effective.
Did you get that?
Effective at what? Killing people?
Well, she didn't say that, did she?
No, she left that out.
They're effective. They are free. They work. And we just... It's unacceptable. It is unacceptable now that people aren't getting vaccinated. We need our kids in schools. We need the schools open. We need people to get back to work. We need people flying on airplanes. We need people in restaurants. We have too many Americans still out of work. And this is a simple, effective shot in the arm, if you will, that our economy needs. And there's no reason not to get vaccinated at this point in time. That being said, you're not being forced. You can from home, you can get tested on a weekly basis. So I just think this is just smart public policy and great leadership by the president.
That is a textbook example of lying, fraud, grotesque misrepresentation of reality, etc. The second woman was Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo. So. Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, it's sheer propaganda.
It's worse. It's worse.
It is worse. You're right.
They're killing people. This is not, oh, you're going to be uncomfortable for a couple of days, maybe. No, you may die of an instantaneous nosebleed that they can't stop, and you're dead. Or you get a transfusion, and then you're dead, double dead. I've never seen more people willingly. Are these people all brain dead, yet they're still able to pretend to be able to speak intelligently? Are these two women really brain dead? Do they really not know anything? And they really think this? Is that possible?
I mean, there was one newscaster a couple months ago who got the vax and died shortly thereafter. CNN, I think it was?
Yeah, I think so.
So apparently they do believe their own propaganda.
Several at the BBC have died. Yeah, it goes on. But honest to God, this is just repulsive. The lying.
Yeah, it's atrocious. It's absolutely atrocious. And they love to bandy about the word science. And...
Oh,
the real
yeah.
scientists are laughing at these people, although it's not funny anymore.
No. Here, I've got another couple little videos here. Let's see. This one in. All right, this is, here's a quote. This is apparently like a Zoom thing or something at a hospital. And senior doctors discuss inflating COVID numbers by counting recovered patients as still active COVID patients. We need to be more scary to the public. If you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. This is what the hospital administrator said. We need to be more scary to the public. If you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. This is big time medicine. These people are not your friends. Here, listen.
On the dashboard and how it's set up myself, as far as how we get information out to the community on meaningful numbers, we do that on a weekly basis. So that's on our website, and we've been sharing that through social channels as well, particularly those graphics that show the number of patients in-house, the percentage of them that are unvaccinated, the percentage of unvaccinated people in the ICU, and the percentage of deaths and the numbers. So those are numbers that we put out as far as we don't get into details of floor or
right.
Okay, here's the big mama. This is the hospital administrator sitting imperiously in her 275-pound frame at the end of a Zoom call.
Their numbers are certainly out there.
Right. I guess my feeling at this point in time is maybe we need to be completely a little bit more scary for the public. Then there's another comment, as I completely agree, there are many people still hospitalized that we're considering post-COVID, but we're not counting in those numbers. So how do we include those post-COVID people in the numbers of the patients we have in the hospital?
So is that all the people who have been in the hospital since the beginning of COVID?
Well, or that are still in it, and that's something that I can take to someone else, but I think those are important numbers, the patients that are still in the hospital, that are off the COVID floor, but still are occupying the hospital for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
Carolyn, we call those... I'm sorry, we're calling those recovered now. If you look at the Novant Health dashboard, they're listed as recovered. But I do think it, from our standpoint, we would still consider them a COVID patient because they're still healing.
Yeah. So I think that needs to be highlighted as well. Because once they're off isolation, they drop from the COVID numbers. That's exactly right.
Carolyn, we can talk offline and how we run that up to marketing. And
right. So I was going to say, Carolyn, I think we have to be more blunt. We have to be more forceful. We have to say something coming out. You know, you don't get vaccinated, you know you're going to die. I mean, let's just be really blunt to these people.
Wow. All right. There's your friendly hospital staff, huh? Wow.
You know, that's probably taking place in numerous hospitals around the country.
Many. I'm sure of it. It's all about money. Remember, they make a fortune. $4,000 a bag with remdesivir and salt water. Two a day. $150,000 just in that in 2 weeks.
Patients are nothing but cash cows.
Yeah. If you don't get vaxxed, you're going to die. See, black is white, up is down. If you do get vaxxed, you're going to die. And I think they know it.
Oh, they know it. They know it.
Here's 57 seconds that underscores what you were first to talk about, and I never heard anyone anywhere talking about before you did. And so this is good to see because it's obviously true. And she breaks it down.
So one of the questions I see on here a lot about the vaccine is, why did some people get really sick and some people didn't? I think I have an answer. If you go on this website, it is called clinicaltrials.gov. On there, it talks about the vaccine. Did you know that each company has four different ones? Now they're all the same kind, but there's four different doses. There's a 10, a 20, a 30, and then the placebo. So my guess is the people that got the 30, I think it's like units per gram or micrograms or something. I don't know what the symbols mean. But I would imagine the people that got the 30 are...
Hold on, she overran the upload or the download or whatever load it is. Here, hold on.
Feeling a hell of a lot sicker than the people that got the 10.
Let me back that up.
Are feeling a hell of a lot sicker than the people that got the 10. I would bet the people that got the 10 had the fever, the body aches, and then they kind of felt okay. Maybe just a sore arm. Clinicaltrials.gov.
Okay, so 10, 20, and 30 strengths, the 30 being the worst, 10 being the lightest. The idea that there is also a saline component to that, a placebo, gives them what they want. People running around, I got this shot, I'm just fine, no problem. And there are those out there. You were the first person I ever heard say that. And I think ultimately you suggested that maybe 40 to 50% of at least the earlier vax wave was saline, was a placebo. So they didn't have every single person getting shot up, getting sick and or dying. They couldn't have that. so they had to pad it with people. I'm just fine. Well, yeah, you got the placebo, but wait until you get your booster shot. They're going to get you then. That's the game.
I think
the
there's
boosters.
Another possibility here too, and I, you know, people are under the assumption that a placebo is always saline, and that's not true. In fact, the companies don't even have to tell you what the placebo is. In the AstraZeneca trial, it was, I believe, a meningococcus vaccine. Not exactly inert, but they can have the placebo be whatever they want. And I believe in either Pfizer or Moderna, maybe both, one of the so-called placebos was just lipid nanoparticles. Now, that can be deceptive because a lipid nanoparticle, an injected lipid nanoparticle, nothing in it, just a lipid nanoparticle, that can cause a reaction almost identical to the real thing. In other words, the lipid nanoparticle with the mRNA and whatever else they're putting in there. The lipid nanoparticle all by itself will create inflammation, maybe even a fever. So you may think you're vaxxed. You may think you got the real deal, but you may have just got an empty lipid nanoparticle and had a reaction to that. And a lot of people will say, well, I can deal with that. You know, nothing bad came of it. I was uncomfortable for a couple days. Okay, well, they've got dose number 3 ready. Are you going to be so lucky next time?
DARPA is proposing now a global on-demand test with gene editing capabilities to allegedly find pathogens in people. You want to tell us a little bit about that one?
Well, okay, so if you remember, a month or two ago, the CDC announced that the PCR test is, in fact, inappropriate, unreliable, and we should look at other tests to replace it. And so we're going to use the PCR test for now until the end of the year while we solicit candidates for a different type of test. Well, I think they've had a different type of test ready for some time, namely this technology that DARPA has been involved with, and it has a acronym name called DIGIT.
DIGIT.
Or DIGIT.
DIGIT. Yeah.
And so I'm not sure what the sample consists of. Is it, if it's blood or saliva or if it's a nasal swab, I haven't got that far with it. But the scary thing is that it does involve using CRISPR, which is, you know, one of the technologies they use nowadays for gene editing. So it's becoming more and more apparent that there's a hidden agenda here in trying to get at people's DNA for purposes of modifying it, changing it, to supposedly protect you from pathogens. But why wouldn't your immune system work for that?
That's old-fashioned. Why let the immune system do anything when you've got all these new wonder technologies?
Exactly.
Well, it gets crazier all the time. There's another very good piece on the site called Where We Are Now. Do keep your eye on the archive on the right-hand side and the headlines as well. We'll continue to keep you updated. Erica will be back on Wednesday, and we'll take a look at what's new then. There's much more we didn't even get to tonight, but you're getting the lead here, so hang on to it. All right. Thanks, Erica. Talk soon.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff. Have a good evening.
Thank you. All right, and we'll be back tomorrow night with another one for you in 21 hours. Take care. Please prepare. You still have time. Talk tomorrow.
Also, the world's biggest killer. If I decided to start taking carnivora, it was just incredible. Feelings that I never felt before, such as pins and needles around my heart. When I had the echocardiogram 2.5 months later, something amazing happened, which really brought tears to my eyes. My heart actually had contracted. But what was staggering about this was the speed in which it contracted. 2.5 months after I started taking carnivora, that's when those amazing results started coming through. That's why I keep carnivora very close to my heart. Excuse the pun.
Well, I'll take it. That works beautifully.
Owner Richard Ostro here. We're talking about the power of waking up your immune system, which has healed this gentleman's heart. Perhaps the immune system can be called one of the body's fiercest powers to heal. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-836-8735. That's 1-866-836-8735.
Known worldwide as the most consistently fascinating, informative, and unique program on radio, the Jeff Rentz program can be yours to listen to anytime, anywhere, whenever you want to hear it. For pennies a day, our subscribers can download any of Jeff's thousands of programs featuring a treasury of newsmakers, researchers, eyewitnesses, and incredible subjects, all in MP3, commercial-free, crystal-clear, 56-bit digital sound, and take these often unforgettable programs with them wherever they go. As a subscriber, you can also listen live at airtime, online, anywhere in the world, or browse through our archives of over 6,000 hours of legend.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong.